I think I figured out what's happening here. We're going to a guestless format. I think that's what's happening here on Issues, Etc. Now, we had no meeting. There was no memo. I haven't been told about this. But I've noticed over the course of this week, more and more burden put on Wilkin to carry the show all the way through. Less and less guests. I don't know if we're losing favor with our stable of guests or Jeff is spending too much time sleeping in his office. I don't know what it is. But today, we're going to save the best for last, really. Greg Kokel's going to join us in the last hour of the program. We're going to be talking with him about a very important topic, the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. And how could this be? It sounds like such a scandalous thing to say that those who perish apart from Christ perish eternally. Sounds mean, doesn't it? Well, Greg will walk us through it in the last hour of Issues, Etc. But for the first couple hours, we're going to be spending some time with you, our listeners. A question for open lines here in the first hour has to do with those roadside crosses. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Either wooden crosses or little propped up crosses that you see on the side of the highway, usually on major highways in the U.S. You see them all over the country. Sometimes they have names. They often have flowers, sometimes fresh flowers on a regular basis put out by them. It's almost like a little cemetery along the side of the road, except no one's buried there. Now, I think normally they mark the site of a fatal car accident. We're going to play a piece from Religion and Ethics News Weekly from PBS, just a piece kind of explaining what these things are about. Someone else noticed the phenomenon. In fact, we were talking about doing this a couple days ago, and then lo and behold, we go to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, and they've got a piece on it. We'll play it for you. And then I'm interested in your answer to a couple questions regarding these roadside crosses. What do you think of them? I mean, your general reaction to them. Is there anything unhealthy about setting up a cross where someone died and then returning to it again and again and again as kind of a memorial? What do you think when you see one, when you drive by? What's your first thought? Some people say, I say a prayer. Some people say, I wonder what happened. Should the highway department, who has charge of our highways and the easement on either side of these highways, have to mow the grass, things like that, should they remove them? During the summertime, when the mower's going along the side of the highway, making sure that the grass isn't growing out into the street, should he just roll right over it? Should he go around it? What if it were a Star of David or a Muslim crescent out there? Would you think the same thing about these highway crosses? And just kind of an aside here, the American Civil Liberties Union has spent a lot of time filing lawsuits against creches in public places and crosses in public places. What about these? Wouldn't you think they'd be working to try and have them taken off the highway? That's the first hour of Issues, Etc. We'll also talk a little bit about, we'll stay in the macabre, talk about the funeral business and the increasing popularity of cremation over against burial. And there's a law down in Georgia that they're trying to get passed through the legislature. I've got a piece to play for you that would make it mandatory in public schools in Georgia to teach the Bible as history and literature. A special course on Old Testament and New Testament, optional for students, elective for students, and they think they've got a pretty good chance of getting it passed. That's the first hour of Issues, Etc. Second hour, we'll be doing audio open lines. We'll be hearing about this a little more on this Afghan Christian convert who is, at least at this point, facing a possible death sentence in Afghanistan. They think they got a new picture of Noah's Ark taken via satellite. There is a miracle that has supposedly happened down in New Orleans or nearby after Katrina. They say they're seeing Jesus in the drywall. People are putting their hands on the image. They say they're being healed. We'll get an update on the Da Vinci trial and the latest on these two deaths regarding RU486, the abortion pill. It's open lines for the first 2 hours of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. And in the third hour, Greg Kokel joins us to talk about the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. Here's that piece from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on roadside crosses.
Most of them die in car accidents. The sites are there to mark the place where the person died and to warn others not to let it happen to them. It started as a Catholic tradition, but it's so diffused now, it's no longer just a Catholic practice. The cross is there because it's as universal a symbol as this culture has to mark death spots. Roadside crosses have a couple of different origin points. Some of them started with Spanish settlement into the Southwest. Particularly in Catholic faith traditions, the cross is meant to signify the place where the soul left the body before it could be consecrated. Sudden death that were too quick to have a priest deliver the last rites. It becomes a kind of a portal where people can go and speak to the dead person. They come here and they leave things for the person. You see an array of things at the site, ranging from a votive candle with Virgin de Guadalupe to CDs, hats. One of the most striking things about roadside shrines is that you find acts of communication like this. The message says, "Hi, my angel, it was so nice to see you last night. Thank you for giving me your strength and protection. You will always be the love of my life." A red WWJD, what would Jesus do, bracelet as well. This is something where people have come to visit and have left something that is really close to them and their body, has been on their body, and then put it at the spot where this person died as a way of sharing something very personal. They are illegal. The only sites in Texas that are legal are the Mothers Against Drunk Driver sites. Those are officially sanctioned by the state. Why do people who know it's illegal do it? And then why do people whose job it is to enforce the law not take them down? I think it's such a rich practice that people respect it. They can set the terms of the memorial. They can say, this is what I want to remember about my loved one, and this is how I want to remember it. One of the reasons why the practice is so important to people is that it gives them a place where they can have some place where they can think about death and be in the same spot where their loved one died.
All right, that's Professor Bob Bednar. He's chairman of the Communications Studies Department at Southwest University, reporting for PBS and Religion and Ethics News Weekly. That was their weekend program on these roadside crosses. Now, something I heard there that I hadn't thought about, and it poses another question for you to answer here in this first hour of the program. Not only what do you think about these crosses, but now he's talking about the state of Texas there, and believe me, they're all over the place. Texas is crisscrossed with highways, and the highways are often peppered with these roadside crosses marking probably a fatal car crash, but they're illegal. He said the only ones that are legal are the Mothers Against Drunk Driving sites that are specified along the side of the highways. And I imagine if it's true for Texas, it's true for other states as well. It's illegal to post anything of even a temporary nature along the side of the highway. So what do you think about these roadside crosses marking the place of a fatal car crash? What do you think when you drive by one? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Should the highway department, if they're illegal, remove them? Should the mowers who mow the sides of the highway mow over them? What if it were a Star of David or a Muslim crescent or some other religious symbol other than the cross? Would you think the same thing about them? And I'm just wondering why the ACLU hasn't caught on to this. This would seem to me to be an easy lawsuit for them to try and push, or at least get a law against them. No putting up little white crosses on the side of the highway. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. When you drive by, I'll tell you what I think when I drive by. I drive by these crosses. I often think, wow, this is a dangerous highway. That's my first reaction. You ever been on Highway 21? You know, heading south out of St. Louis, what do they call that, Blood Alley? It's the extension of whatever road that comes into St. Louis. I don't know which one it is. Highway 21, Gravois, if I'm not mistaken. It's one of the most dangerous, between there and 141, one of the most dangerous stretches of highway in all of the U.S. I don't know why. I mean, some of these highways rack up a number of deaths. And you'll see those roadside crosses. What do you think when you drive by? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If they're illegal in the state of Missouri or in the state of Illinois, as they are in that report in the state of Texas, should you be putting them up? I guess the reason they're illegal, I mean, just kind of off the top of my head, might be that they could pose a hazard. They could fall into the roadway and cause trouble for motorists. They could be a distraction. People stopping there to put out their flowers. It is illegal to stop along the highway for any other reason than you need roadside assistance. So people stopping there to remember their loved ones, to put out flowers, to restack the rocks. And where does it stop? You've got a little white cross. Maybe you want to put up a bigger white cross. What if I want to put up a 6-foot cross? These are just questions to get you thinking about these roadside crosses. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Some of them have, and there's some pictures on the PBS site, some of them have rather sophisticated stacks of rocks in and around, flowers put in there. It's almost a permanent structure. Let's start with Ron, who calls from his car. Ron, welcome.
Hello there. It's an interesting topic. You know, I haven't, it germinates some thoughts. I haven't thought it out a whole lot, but I just wonder, too, you know, with the, you know, the changes in culture and or generations and stuff, in a way, I think I kind of like it without really analyzing it. It helps me think of mortality. As you said, I obviously think, man, this must be a bad corner. But it also... it helps me just remember that life is short, and you know, so often a cemetery can be distant to our everyday life, and that kind of brings in a mortality to me. And also, I was thinking, you know, in a way, it's a kind of lesser way than making the effort, you know, in a day of microwaves and instant things, rather than go and pay your homage at a cemetery. It's something you may drive by from school, and it's kind of a simple gypsy way of doing a homage maybe to a friend, and those are just some thoughts I had.
Okay, Ron, one more question before I let you go. In fact, two more questions. If, in fact, they're illegal, you know, to stop, put up this little thing, the cross, whatever it is along the side of the road at the site of a fatal car crash, should Christians be putting them up?
No, that's a good question. It's illegal. I don't see how you can...
I don't think the highway patrol is going to, you know, cart you off to the hooscow. If they see you trying to put one up, they'll just say, no, don't do that. Give me that cross. They put it in the trunk, and then you go on your way. But it still is illegal.
Yeah, so I guess in a sense, whatever I say would be justification, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I mean, no, they shouldn't put them up unless you want to fight for a law to make them legal.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they would probably still go up. It's kind of a lesser way to pay homage, isn't it? Because we tend to forget about our friends and once we put Bertha or Aunt Gurney in the cemetery, it's all over, and it's kind of isolated. You know, we're so isolated so much with or we compartmentalize so much of our lives. To me, it kind of I don't really see it as irreverent. But if it causes, you know, more harm on the highway or the legality of it, yeah, I would say as a Christian, I couldn't say, hey kids, let's do this for Sue or something.
Ron, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for listening in your car. Okay, what about the rest of you? We're talking about these roadside crosses that are so common in the U.S., marking the site of fatal car accidents. Usually with flowers. They stay up there for a long time. I've driven past one near my house. Been there years. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Years. The same cross. Repainted. Put up. Flowers. You name it. It's all there. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What do you think when you see one? Tina calls from Webster Groves. Hi, Tina.
Well, hi, Todd. How are you doing?
Just fine.
You know, Todd, I appreciated what Religion and Ethics Weekly had to say about them as being a Spanish tradition. However, I really wasn't familiar with that. I do need to say that when I was in Ireland, however, they do have roadside crosses. And I thought, and that's before they were popularized here in St. Louis, there are memorials to saints along the roadsides too in Ireland, and very famous places are named after a high cross. They call them high crosses after they become small grottos or whatever they are here. Then some of them get very popularized and become landmarks. And a wonderful place we ate was the Moon High Cross Inn. And in Ireland, they definitely have, they're known for their high crosses. I don't know what's going to evolve here in the United States, and especially here in the Midwest, but I think it's kind of exciting to see.
Tina, thank you very much. Now, that's enlightening. I mean, others would see this. Maybe people from Latin America would see this and say, hey, that's, you just put crosses along the side of the road when someone dies. And she mentioned Ireland. Are they shrines? I mean, in any place else, you'd call it a shrine, wouldn't you? Little stack of rocks, kind of in a semicircle, got a cross in there, the name of the person, maybe a picture, some flowers. You visit it. You go there because the person died there. I mean, this isn't just Catholics. It started as a Catholic tradition, and Catholics have no problem with shrines. Protestants do it too. Are they shrines? By the way, folks, Christians can agree or disagree on these roadside crosses. This is just an open-ended question for you during open lines. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Should the highway department remove them? I mean, that's kind of a two-sided question here. If they are, in fact, illegal, then, number one, should Christians be putting them up? And number two, should the highway department feel free, if you put one up, to simply take it down? Or if the mower comes along during the summer and he says, I can't mow over this thing, should he go around it? Would you be mad if he didn't go around it and just went over it or took it down, tossed it in the back of his pickup truck? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 22nd of March. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for March is a children's book. It deals with the subject of the season, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is called He is Risen Indeed. We talked recently with the illustrator and got some very interesting insights into how he goes about depicting these very familiar events in a realistic way. The text of this book, entirely the narrative of the Gospels surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection. It's for your kid, your grandkid, your godchild. Great Easter gift. Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or find the book at our website, issuesetc.org. All right, so we're talking about the roadside crosses. We know where they came from. We generally know what they mean. What do you think of them? When I drive by, I think, maybe I should be careful here. There seems to be a high incidence of fatal car crashes in this vicinity. Maybe should I keep both hands on the wheel and my eyes on the road? Is there anything unhealthy about this? To put up a cross and then to come back to it again and again. What do you think when you see one? If they're illegal, should Christians put them up, and should the highway department feel free to take them down? If it weren't a cross, but a Star of David or a Muslim crescent, would you think differently? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll talk about this with you, get your answers to this. All the way through this first hour, we're also going to turn our attention, and it's a related subject, in the funeral business, the urn is becoming more popular than the casket, cremation more popular than burial. One of the reasons is it costs less, and the funeral business is changing to accommodate people's tastes in how they deal with dead loved ones. There's also a law that's being pushed through the Georgia legislature. First of its kind in the United States, it would require in public schools that the Bible be taught as a course. Now, it's a course that focuses on the Bible as history and as literature. The argument being made for it is that the Bible is part of the fabric of Western civilization. If you want to be literate, and well-read in Western civilization, you should know the basics of the Bible. So they are proposing a course in Old Testament and New Testament, not mandatory, but optional. And they think they've got a pretty good chance of getting it through. Is this a good idea? My gut reaction is, and we'll hear the audio here on the other side of the break, my gut reaction is, no. Bad idea. And I'll tell you why on the other side of the break. So Ron says, with regard to these white wooden crosses that you often see, or the sometimes they're made out of styrofoam, all-weather materials, who knows? I've seen some pretty elaborate ones. And I'm pretty sure that someone someplace is manufacturing these things for the specific purpose of putting them along the side of the road. I mean, it would be a kind of a business. Ron says, look, we live in a society where death has been tucked away into the corner where the cemetery is not readily accessible and people use this. And when he drives by, he numbers his days. He considers his own mortality. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tina said that in her travels in Europe, particularly in Ireland, these are not at all unusual. Some of them are very ancient and they're permanent. It made me wonder, are these little crosses along the side of the highway, are they shrines? I mean, most people wouldn't say it's a shrine, but it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, sounds like a duck. Maybe it is a shrine. This is what Steve writes via email. Why do people leave such things as CDs, teddy bears, etc., by these crosses along the side of the highway at this location? Is this a form of pagan worship, just like the Egyptians leaving items for the pharaohs in the tombs or for the afterlife? That's a great question. Have you ever seen the stuff that gets stacked up there? I've seen CDs. I've seen pictures, teddy bears, flowers. You drive by and you think, wow. It's an excellent question. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jackie writes this. We do have smaller version of the same cross inside our church, and yes, we are wanting people to come and hear preaching that will save them. We do preach Christ and Him crucified. Okay, that's a legitimate question. Is this different than putting up a cross in the church? Now, the communications professor that did the piece for PBS that we played just a minute ago, he said, look, the cross, as far as he can tell, the cross is not there as an explicitly Christian symbol as it would be in a church. But he says it's the near universal symbol of sacredness, of the fact that people want to in some way hallow this ground where a death took place. And it's not necessarily the message of the cross that's getting across when you see the little crosses along the side of the highway. There are... Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about roadside crosses during this first hour of Issues, Etc. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of Highway.
Radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
David Erickson, illustrator of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, He Is Risen Indeed, on why this book would make a great Easter gift for your child, grandchild, or godchild.
First of all, and this is important, it has the scripture on each page, and so mom and dad are reading scripture on each and every page of this book. That was a great idea to do it that way, because the kids are hearing in mom or dad's lap scripture, and not some author's reinterpretation of it or anything like that. And that's a real blessing that I'm able to combine my artwork with actual scriptures. It's kind of intimidating, but that's an important thing for me. And now the parents have that to share that with their kids too.
He Is Risen Indeed is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Building new homes in Mexico is a powerful way to share Christ. This Global Minute gives you an update from Hugo Ministries. Prayer accompanies each step of building a home to benefit a local family in cities like Tijuana or Ensenada. When a prospective family files an application to have a team with Yugo Ministries build a home, one of two pastors will visit the family. They'll explain who offers the service and why they're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. The family has to have papers for the lot where they want to build, and they take responsibility for making sure the ground is level enough for a concrete slab. The building project takes about 4 days, and the family can help the crew with the work. It gives everybody time to talk about Christ. The house is dedicated to the Lord, and the construction team prays over the family. Pray for more Mexican families to embrace Christ in their hearts. See how you can use your talents in missions around the globe. Visit missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. John Kelly of the Washington Post tells this story. Ann Nardick of Annapolis, Maryland, took her 7-year-old son Joey and his 9-year-old friend Devin to Washington, D.C. to see the St. Patrick's Day Parade. After the parade, Ann led the boys to the subway station to take the train back home. When their train arrived at the crowded L'Enfant Plaza, Ann guided the two little boys through the open doors, but those doors shut before Ann herself could board. Horrified as the train started off with her boys, Ann screamed, "Stop the train!" Police came and began to help. So did a couple on the train who saw what was happening and looked after the boys. When Ann and the police arrived at the next station, Federal Center, there was a happy reunion. Jesus told stories, many about precious things being lost. He told about a man who searched for his lost sheep, about a woman who searched for her lost coin, and about a lost son reunited with his father. Those parables point to one great truth. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. We parents panic sometimes for our children. Did God put that in us to give us a glimpse of how much He cares for us?
At age 31, Jacqueline Kennedy became the third youngest First Lady in our history. As she entered the White House, she learned what her new role entailed from former First Ladies Bess Truman and Mamie Eisenhower. The Missouri Historical Society presents two dramatic performances of what she might have learned from them. Bess and Jackie, Private Lives, Public Lives will be Saturday, April 1st, and Side by Side, Mamie and Jackie is on Sunday, April 2nd, at the Missouri History Museum, Lyndall and DeBolivar in Forest Park. Both performances are at 2.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the first hour, open lines for your questions and your comments. I put a number of questions on the table about these roadside crosses. I guess elsewhere, at least according to our callers, if you go to Europe or someplace, you'll find these things prominently displayed in the permanent. I mean, I don't know if they're historical sites or if they're just traditional sites. In the U.S., they're usually a little more temporary, but you see them. You drive by and you say, somebody died there. I remember explaining it to my kids when you're on a road trip, and they're asking, why are those crosses on the side of the road? And you have to explain to them, well, that's where an accident occurred and somebody died. We played the little piece from Randy Travis's song, Three Wooden Crosses. I mean, it's that much a part of the American fabric now that he can sing a song about it. Everybody knows what he's talking about. What do you think when you see them? Maybe more importantly, if you lost a loved one or a friend in a car accident, would you put one up? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Would you go back to it? Would you leave CDs, books, teddy bears, flowers? Steve wrote via email and said, what's that all about? Leaving stuff there. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Maybe you've put one up. Maybe you are maintaining at this very moment a roadside cross someplace. I want to hear from you. As I said, we can agree or disagree on this one. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Carol, who calls from Arnold. Hi, Carol.
Hello, Todd. I've got to tell you that I live just off of Blood Alley.
Do you? Off of Highway 21?
Yes.
All right.
I don't think the crosses are appropriate for long-term things. When there's been a terrible accident and people are moved and they want to, you know, possibly put flowers there, that would be fine for a short time, but I think after that, the concentration is too much on the way they died rather than what their life was or what their hope was in Christ.
So if this goes beyond a certain point, it's not the healthiest practice.
I don't think so. If they want to remember the person, they can go to the cemetery, or they can establish a memorial garden at a school or someplace like that. But I don't think the highway crosses should be continued indefinitely.
Carol, thank you so much for calling. You know, before we go back to the phones, I was just reading about John Lennon. You know, he was shot in New York back in the 80s. Just out of the blue, coming down out of his penthouse apartment, and someone walks up and kills him. A fan killed him. There are people who go back to that spot on the street in New York every year. There are people who go to that stretch in the tunnel in France where Princess Di tragically died in a car accident. I mean, she didn't die there, but she received her fatal injuries there, and they put flowers up and they put up signs and candles. Now, we have a smaller version of this in this roadside crosses. What do you think about them? Let's talk with Lael, who calls from her car. Hi, Lael.
I hope you can hear me on my cell phone. Anyway, my nephew was killed in an automobile accident when he was in Tennessee. But I think what it is, I think I can understand a temporary one, but not a permanent one. But my sister did have his cremated. I have real mixed emotion about it. In fact, I have what you call an urn. It's a cross on a necklace that I wear. I have mixed feelings about it. I don't know if I really like it or not, but going to the cemetery seemed to be, you know, where you can go and visit, I guess you could say, but...
Well, the difference with the cemetery there, of course, Lael, is that unless there's someplace where the body is never located, you go to the marker at the cemetery, you're actually visiting the burial site.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Lael, but see, with cremation, like my mother has my sister in her room, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I'm having trouble with that in some way.
Lael, thank you very much for the call. Now, Lael kind of broaches a subject that we may get into as time permits, and that is the increasing popularity of cremation versus burial. And I think it's ABC News has a business report on this. Why is it in the business report? Well, because this mini billion-dollar industry called the funeral business is changing due to the fact that people are opting for the urn rather than the casket. But let's keep talking about the roadside crosses here for a moment. Steve calls from his car. Steve, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Todd. Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts. I can remember being, you know, somewhat puzzled when I first started seeing those, and you know, until I figured out, well, that was where somebody had an accident and died, and seemed, in, you know, in some ways, kind of a, you know, a sweet reminder. Maybe from a practical standpoint, it might remind people to be careful when they're driving. But I'm just kind of in the back of my mind that there's something that almost seems. I guess I'd have to talk to some of the people that are doing it. Something almost new age about it, maybe tied into the belief that. You know, people's spirit tends to linger on in the area where they died.
And yeah, the piece we played from PBS, the communications professor there who has made a study of this, or at least a casual study of these roadside crosses, he said that people will go there because they feel it's a point of contact with their dead loved one. They'll often go there and speak to their dead loved one, even though their dead loved one isn't buried there. That's the place where they died, and they have that sense. There's no doubt about that. I think your concern...
I missed that. I tuned in a little late and didn't catch that comment.
Well, I think your concern may be, at least in some cases, Steve, warranted. Thank you so much for the call. Well, that's Steve mentioned kind of the practical reminder of drive safely. Yeah, I mean, knowing that someone died in a car accident as you drive by, it reminds me to drive safely. It does. Matt in Richmond Heights is next. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Todd. I remember 40, 45 years ago as a child growing up in South Central Kansas on Highway 81 and 56 and 54, seeing diagonally shaped signs that were put there by the state. They looked like state official signs, and they had a white X, big white X, and underneath it said, "Thank." and we call them X-Think signs,
hmm.
and they put those wherever someone died in an accident.
Really?
And this would have been 40, 45 years ago, and I haven't seen them there, you know, for years and years.
Well, you know, I crisscrossed those highways in Kansas as a child because my folks grew up in western Kansas, and you kind of have to go up through the Texas Panhandle, through Oklahoma, and then work your way over to the western side of the state. And I don't remember seeing any X-Think signs. So they took the occasion of these fatal car accidents to put them out and say, drive safely, in essence.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So what do you think about, what do you think when you drive past the roadside cross?
Well, it's I just feel sad. You know, I feel that there was probably a young person. You always think about these teenagers that are just starting to drive in a car full of people, but it's not always that way. But so many times it seems to be. And, you know, their lives were snuffed out early, and I just feel sad. And I also, you know, I don't look too long because it would be unsafe to do so.
Matt, thanks for the call. You know, my Jeff here, my producer, was saying that he drives by one on a regular basis as he's coming into work. And his practice always was to say a prayer for the loved ones and for the survivors and the family because he knew someone had died there. And he'd say a prayer every time he drove past this particular one. And then at one point, I don't know if he was in traffic or what, but he had an opportunity to see what it was really all about, what it said there. And it was a dog. Someone had put up a roadside cross for their dog. Now, look, I'm a dog lover. And I've been known to put, when I was a child, put crosses on the graves of my cats when they passed away. And I think it was even the, not the last cat we lost, but the one we lost before that. She got a little cross made out of popsicle sticks, temporary, of course, there. I had to deliberate when I was mowing the grass later that summer whether I would leave it there, and I didn't. Now, that's kind of the Wilkin, the smallest version of the Wilkin roadside cross. Let's see what Lois has to say. She calls from St. Louis. Hi, Lois.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I don't know how we can ever see a cross at any time without it being a reminder to us of the hope that we have in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And perhaps that's why the people put the cross there. I don't know. Certainly not in the case of a dog, because the Bible doesn't speak about the resurrection of animals, although that can be a hope of ours, I suppose. But Jeff said that he says a prayer for the people who died there.
No, for the survivors and the loved ones.
Oh, for the survivors,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
For the survivors and the loved ones. But I think we could also say a prayer for the safety of everybody who is driving on the highway. Every morning when I say my prayers, I always ask God to protect all those who travel on the land, on the sea, and in the air, because there are always those fatalities every day. But to me, the crosses are just a reminder. I cannot see a cross without thinking of the sacrifice that was made on the cross for all of us.
Lois, thank you very much. Thank you. So Lois gets right to the real heart of the matter, what the cross is really all about when she sees those white crosses. And Lois, by the way, thank you for praying for the travelers, because many of us do it every day along the highways. And I think about it when I get on an airplane, that I've got my mother at home always praying for me back in Dallas. She knows when I travel, and she's praying extra hard when I get on an airplane. Even though it's safer than getting in the car, I wonder if Mom prays for me when I get in the car every morning. I'm sure she does, but it's a heck of a lot safer than getting in the car. It's open lines with your reaction to roadside crosses, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 22nd of March. Let's go back to the phones. Jean has been waiting in Edwardsville very patiently. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
I am a bereaved mother. My son, I have a visitor at my door. Come on in, Emma. My son died when he was 18. He took his own life in our family room. And that spot forever will be, we stayed at that home for 6 years. And that spot was always such a special spot. And when I was 20, my 18-year-old sister died in the garage, in the car. And that garage was always a very special place. And the car was a very special place. And I kind of wonder, too, if those aren't just, when there's such trauma, when there's such tragedy, we need, well, maybe not even necessarily need, it happens that we, that place becomes so special.
I
don't know. I mean, you can ask me anything you want about these deaths to help understand it, but I do know people in our group, the Compassionate Friends, parents who have put up crosses on the highway and things, and we do all sorts of things to survive the trauma.
It sounds like, whether it's the garage or the family room or any place else, mm-hmm. Gene, it sounds like it is a, they would call it a coping mechanism. I don't, you know, that's kind of a sterile way of talking about it, but a way of grieving.
Right. Now, I had trouble with that spot for a while, and I had my pastor come and reconsecrate our family room as a holy place, the place where Christ dwells, and he also suggested that I buy a cross and hang it on the wall near the spot, and also I got a picture of Christ and in a special setting that just really helped me with that spot, and there is just such, you are so drawn to that spot, there is just something there. And I think if my child died on the highway, I couldn't drive by that spot without some reminder that that was the spot where it happened.
I don't think you ever could, Jane.
No, and so with those crosses, I hope people are patient with those who do that, and I hope and pray that those crosses mean Christ and the resurrection, because that's the only hope I have of seeing my son again. But to be patient with us, because we do need to do that kind of thing to survive.
Gene, thank you very much for your call, and thank you for being kind enough to share that experience with us as well. Best of all possible worlds, I think that's what it ought to be. And that's probably why the Highway Patrol doesn't, you know, make a sweep of the highways every weekend pulling these things down. That's probably exactly the reason. They've seen enough people die on the side of the highway, and they know what it does. I was driving home from the Sunday night program. Oh, this was several years ago. And when I drive home from the Sunday night program, it's late at night. It's actually Monday morning, very early. And I was just minding my own business, driving down Highway 3 on my way back to my little town in Illinois. And I saw out of the corner of my eye a car on one of the on-ramps, kind of a curved on-ramp, overturned. It just caught the corner of my eye, and I thought to myself, did I see what I just thought I saw before I drove out of view? And sure enough, it was a car turned over on its top, and I had called 911, and the ambulances and the fire trucks and everyone else went by. I don't know if anyone died there. I don't even know if anyone was injured there. But I don't drive by it any Sunday night or early Monday morning without remembering that. How much more would it be if it were someone dear to me, someone I loved? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I haven't put up a cross there, and I didn't notice a cross after that. In fact, I looked for one, but I didn't see one. Chuck calls from South County. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Todd. I was thinking of myself. I see a lot of times crosses or whatever on the side of the road, and I drive by. I don't really think much about it other than somebody had an accident there. But what I think what people ought to do, instead of putting a lot of stuff out there on the highway that could take your own life by getting out of their car or whatever, putting the stuff out there, and also for the people who cut the grass, it's in their way, why don't they adopt that part of the highway and have them put up a state sign in memory of.
Oh, that's an excellent comment. Thank you very much, and we appreciate that. Well, okay. Chuck says there are other ways to go about this, and there are other legal and safer ways to go about this as well. So let's balance the two out. Gene, of course, calling for patience, and no one is saying that we shouldn't be patient. We are raising legitimate questions about the highway crosses, but you can adopt that stretch of the highway. Kind of raises another question in my mind. If you have already adopted a stretch of highway and someone's putting up roadside crosses on your stretch of the highway, you have permission to get along that side of the highway from the state and clean up the garbage and everything else. Make sure it looks good. Do you clean up the roadside cross? You know, I'd asked a question earlier in the hour about the ACLU, and according to Kelly, who has written us via email, she writes, the ACLU has gotten involved in the roadside cross issue. I saw the news recently that an atheist has sued to have crosses memorializing Utah patrolmen removed from the roadside. And then she gives us a couple websites directing us to this issue. So apparently the ACLU is, well, I guess we have to say, they're on the ball when it comes to roadside crosses, at least those that are posted to remember patrolmen who die in the line of duty. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What do you think about cremation? One of our callers, I think it was Lois, or maybe it was Lael, called in and said she had a nephew, I believe, that passed away in Texas along the side of the highway, and his body was cremated. And I think she also mentioned that her mother or someone else keeps a relative in the urn in her bedroom. You know, this is changing the face of the funeral business. I want to hear from you after this story from ABC News. They've got a business report on the changing face of the funeral business due to the popularity of cremation.
Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, millions more Americans are opting for cremation and not traditional burials, according to the latest figures from the Cremation Association of North America. Since the Vatican blessed the practice in the 1960s, cremations have become more commonplace, now representing 30% of funeral arrangements. Experts predict cremations will rise to 45% of all arrangements by 2025. What's fueling recent interest in cremations is price. A traditional funeral, including burial, costs about $6,000. Compare that with the average price of a cremation, about $1,900. Baby boomers are also showing more interest in cremations. This has forced casket makers to enter the market with their own line of cremation-oriented products, including custom-made urns. Funeral homes are latching on to the trend by offering cremation packages, which include elements of a traditional burial, such as a stone marker and memorial services. With the ABC News Money Minute, I'm Betsy Stark in New York.
All right, that's the piece from ABC News. They're viewing this from the financial angle. How do you view cremation? We've done programs on it. I remember we did one with Alvin Schmidt, and he kind of traced the rather unmistakable in terms of at least pagan practice, the predominance of the pagan practice of cremation. And the Christian church for many, many centuries either had nothing to do with it or outright condemned the practice of cremation. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I found it kind of sad that what's driving the popularity of cremation is the price. Now, don't get me wrong, funerals are outrageously expensive. They are. Have you been? I mean, some people, especially as they're getting closer to their final years, decide to take a trip out to the funeral home and price caskets and plots and all of those kind of things. People buy insurance for it as well. Now, not everybody takes the cremains, that's what they call them now, cremains home. It's true, that's what they call them. That's the company, that's the industry term. Not everyone takes the cremains home in an urn. Some people do bury them in cemeteries. They buy a lot. They buy a plot. They bury the ashes there. Does the idea of cremation concern you as a Christian? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address issues etc@kfuo.org. Here's Mike. He calls from his car. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Pastor. I just wanted to give you my version of my faith in the resurrection, and I want to be cremated and have my ashes spread over a wilderness area up in Montana. It just seems like the ultimate faith in the fact that God has the power to resurrect me from wherever I am, scattered everywhere.
Why is Montana special to you?
That's where I was born and raised.
All right. So this is not as some have made the practice of cremation and scattering the ashes. This is not for you an attempt to thwart the promise of the resurrection, but in fact to affirm it.
That's absolutely correct.
All right, Mike, thank you very much, and thanks for that call. What about the rest of you on cremation? It's just a business fact that the funeral business is going to accommodate itself to people's desire for cremation rather than burial. What do you think of it? Kent calls from his car. Hi, Kent.
Hi, Todd. I was speaking to your outstanding producer, so I missed the last call, but my thunder may have been stolen.
Okay. What was your thunder? Give us your thunder.
Well, I know in the past the Catholic Church had rejected cremation because it was thought that those seeking it were attempting to refute church teaching on an actual bodily resurrection of this body. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people think, well, I'm really my soul, but no, you're not.
No, you're body and soul.
Yeah, this body, your body, my body, these will be our bodies that will be resurrected. But the church has backed off of that. A lot of people still think the Catholic Church, quote-unquote, bans cremation. That's not the case. But I guess with the caveat, so long as it is not done to thumb one's nose at the notion of the bodily resurrection.
And so as a Catholic, Kent, do you have any other concerns about cremation beyond that someone would attempt to deny the bodily resurrection thereby?
No, not really, because, I mean, it won't prevent a funeral service or shouldn't. And in any event, what about Christians that have been long dead? I mean, Martin Luther, for example, his body is long gone, disintegrated. I don't know what the difference between that and cremation would be.
Yeah, it's ashes to ashes and dust to dust sooner or later.
Indeed.
Sooner
Thank
or
you.
Later. Thank you, Kent, and thanks for listening, giving us a call. So already the two callers have established one thing. The reason for being cremated is important if you're a Christian. It's not just the method. It's the reason for it. Let's talk with Anna real quick before we go to our break. Anna calling from her car. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to give my opinion on cremation. I think it's very wrong because it's sort of like sticking our tongue out at God and saying, see if you can raise this on Resurrection Day.
All right, Anna, thank you very much. One of our younger listeners there. Now, see, let's put that next to our first call. I think it was Mike who called and said, look, I'm going to be cremated and I'm going to have my ashes spread over the Montana wilderness. Is there any part of Montana that isn't wilderness? And I'm doing it because I believe so firmly that this body will be raised by Christ on the last day. So it's not a problem for me. Now, there's always that warning, and Anna reiterates it. We do not want the cremation to be thumbing our nose at God and saying, try this one out for size. More of your phone calls after this break, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.